If you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings, but the price and the fear of losing them has stopped you. Last Valentine's Day, this deal was so hot, it sold out midweek. Earrings for only $79. These earrings are made by Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. This offer is only good for this week, and shipping is guaranteed before Mother's Day. Go to diamondxl.com and save $120 with code word HOWIEDIAMOND. Shipping is free.
Strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
President Biden is trying to label this Putin's price hike. But most Americans, according to an NBC News poll, are not buying that.
Blaming all of this on Putin and think that's just not accurate. That's just not factual.
Whoosh. But make no mistake, the American people are smart. Joe Biden and House Democrats own this energy crisis.
We bought this dump.
You most certainly did.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
No parent ever should have to pull into McDonald's or a fast food chain to literally hook up to the internet in their car so their kid could do their homework over on the line.
This is like having your own research library at home.
Yes. So if you would be interested in owning the new Encyclopedia Britannica...
That, unlike for some of us, the thing of Encyclopedia Britannica is a thing of a long time ago.
You making some kind of joke.
And now the kids need to be online to help get their homework done.
Muley just doesn't get it.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. So late last month, the Massachusetts House and the Senate both defeated bills to suspend the gas tax here in Massachusetts. House, we didn't get a roll call vote. The Senate, we did. And it was kind of a big deal. You know, people in Massachusetts were paying at the time, you know, close to $4.35 a gallon, some places even higher on average. The historical average, as Joe Biden would say, the historical average. And it really befuddled people as to why. And Speaker Mariano came out earlier and said that, well, this was, you know, we didn't want to do it because it would have had a devastating effect to our bond rating. Said, quote, on March 14th, if you look at what it will do to our bond rating and what it will do to the price of us borrowing money to finance the road and bridge projects that this money is committed to, we find ourselves in a very, very precarious situation. In some cases, I saw in California, it was $7 a gallon. 20 cents off $7 a gallon of gas is really not going to make anyone happy. Paul Craney joins us from Mass Fiscal Alliance. Paul, welcome to the show. I'm not sure what made Mariano the end-all be-all as to what is going to make anybody happy in the state of Massachusetts, but certainly 20 cents off gas right now would make me smile at the pump, I think.
Yeah, and you have to remember that Speaker Mariano got an extra pay raise so he can drive to the state house while he kept the state house closed for over 700 days. So the economic anxiety that many of us feel doesn't seem to be shared with our leaders at the state house right now.
That's a built-in stipend. That's not just a pay raise. That's a built-in stipend they get just for traveling to the state house, even if, as you just said, they don't have to travel to the state house. So, you know, he said that this would hurt our bond rating in Massachusetts, which we have a pretty good bond rating, as I understand it. What did S&P say today, Paul?
Well, it's funny. You're right. The speaker, who is very powerful in the Massachusetts legislature, spoke out against an amendment that was being offered by a Republican House member that would temporarily suspend the gas tax. And he made it sound like the world would fall apart if we did this for just a few months because the bond rating would get devastated. And no one seemed to, at the moment, no one seemed to ask the bond rating companies what they thought of it. And wouldn't you know, yesterday they came out. And Taylor, actually, I have some quotes here directly from the S&P bond rating. If you're all right, I could read it to your audience.
Go ahead.
All right, so they said, this is a quote now. Temporary state gas tax suspensions implemented recently by a few U.S. states and under discussions by others are, quote, unlikely to lead to rating changes on highway user tax-supported debt. They went on to say that, quote, it does not expect state gas tax suspensions will have a significant impact on the bond rating. And you know what they actually said, Taylor? They they talked about electric vehicles, and they said, quote, a greater risk is the potential long-term threat of reduced gas consumption from electric vehicles.
And that's kind of a retort. That's kind of a retort to Karen Spilka, who, you know, when she's been asked about this, she's been saying, well, I think we need to really invest in other places. This was back in, again, March, around March 23rd. She said, I do believe that we really need to focus on electrifying our public transportation and having a way to get to help people get electric vehicles themselves, personal vehicles. We need to get our gas guzzlers off of our roads. So she's prioritizing this push towards electric vehicles and even pushed offshore wind during that that statement that she gave during a State House News Service forum. When even now, if we go offshore wind, the price of transporting that energy from those windmills to the grid, so to speak, is still exorbitant and is most likely going to raise the energy prices, the home heating the home energy prices of the residents of Massachusetts. So how she thinks that that is, you know, a way to go that makes sense for your everyday Massachusetts residents, it befuddles me. But I'm glad S&P came out and actually addressed that part of their line of thinking as well.
Yeah, it actually contradicted everything they're saying, right? They're saying that suspending the gas tax would hurt the bond rating, and the bond company says no. And then they say, the lawmakers say, we have to get into electric vehicles. And the bond agency says, a greater risk is a reduced gas consumption from electric vehicles. So it seems like our speaker and our Senate president have had a really bad week. This is all happening, mind you, while New York State and Connecticut and New Hampshire are either already or on the verge of implementing gas tax suspension. So we're kind of getting locked in at this point. But I do want to talk about Karen Spilka, because tomorrow there's a big vote that's taking place in the Massachusetts State Senate that deals with some of the points you're just talking about. The Senate, while everyone is hurting with inflation, the State Senate is actually taking our extra taxpayer money that was collected from you and I, and they want to spend it on all sorts of projects for, quote, you know, green lobbying industry organizations. They want to allow 10 municipalities in the state of Massachusetts to ban the use of fossil fuels in new construction projects. And as you can imagine, Taylor, those 10 municipalities are some of the most affluent in the state. So what do you think is going to happen? Those 10 cities and towns are going to say, oh, this is great. Let's do it for everyone else.
The Big Dig took long enough. What do you think would have happened if everything was electrified on the Big Dig? I don't think that would have sped things up at all.
No, it wouldn't. It would still be happening now. They also, with the Senate bill, they want to make sure that all Uber and Lyft rides are done with electric vehicles. A big part of this bill that is going to take a vote tomorrow is that California, the state of California, which has virtually nothing in common with Massachusetts climate-wise, is banning the sale of gas and diesel vehicles by 2035. In Massachusetts, the state Senate will vote on a bill tomorrow that includes that ban for Massachusetts. So while we deal with a energy crisis, an inflation crisis, our Massachusetts state Senate is banning the sale of gas and diesel power vehicles by the year of 2035. And that vote is tomorrow. So if your audience doesn't like what they're hearing right now, they can actually do something about it. They could go to our website, massfiscal.org, and we have a call to action there. It's a way for them to email their state senator immediately with a message that says, do not vote for this horrible climate change bill tomorrow, Thursday. It's massfiscal.org. It'll take them 30 seconds to email their state senator. And I think that's really important that these lawmakers hear from ordinary people, not the environmental lobbyists, but just ordinary people who are feeling the pinch of inflation, more government spending, and the economic anxiety that's hurting many of us middle-class people.
And that's a big deal, banning the sale of gas and diesel vehicles by 2035. That's life-changing for a lot of people. And I was just watching some videos last night. The technology still hasn't really caught up so that every vehicle can be efficient. I mean, tractor trailers, for instance, there's so much into drag coefficients and weight hauling that the battery storage on those things would have to be almost as large as the cargo that they're hauling themselves. It's not a very efficient way to move things about the country. And where do these politicians think that all of this stuff comes from? We don't have an infinite amount of lithium resources or cobalt resources, which is a hugely dirty operation to begin with. Many would say a lot dirtier than oil refinement. Where do they think all this comes from and how that energy is procured? And how, do they know how much of it we have available to us? A lot of it, I believe, still comes from China, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think most of these lawmakers just think power comes from the wall when you plug in. They don't really realize or think to themselves the difference between cultivating domestic energy, which has a lot of regulations and standards compared to, you know, producing, like you said, electric batteries from China or from Africa, which obviously doesn't have the same standards. But to your point, Taylor, this Senate bill that's taking a vote tomorrow actually talks about the MBTA. And as you probably have seen in the news, there's a push to electrify the MBTA buses. Just for your audience to understand, a regular bus is about, compared to an electric bus, the electric bus is about three times more expensive than a regular bus. But we actually have some electric buses right now. And did you know, Taylor, that they have to retrofit our electric buses with diesel motors?
Yeah, because they can't get them up the hills. They can't get them up the hills,
yeah,
and the colder temperatures they draw down the battery power, and it takes a lot more energy to haul passengers. And it's an expensive venture that is. I mean, is the MBTA even self-sufficient on its own merits right now?
Oh, of course not. But
no.
Just think about that logic, though. Mandating electric vehicles, and currently we're experimenting with that MBTA, and they have to retrofit them with diesel motors for the colder days. And again, to my point, California and Massachusetts don't have a lot in common regarding the climate. California is a very warm state. Massachusetts is not. So, the Massachusetts State Senate wants to ban the sale of all gas and diesel power vehicles by the year 2035. That vote's taking place tomorrow. Your audience can just click on massfiscal.org, their state senator. I encourage you to do that now. Let me tell you, these state senators are very, very sensitive to constituent correspondence. They may vote the wrong way, but you'll make them sweat the whole time. You'll make their whole night so horrible if they get 15, 20 emails from their constituents. You guys have
right.
No idea how much effort, how much of a help that is to make them anxious about their votes and hold them accountable.
We got to run here, Paul, but you guys over at Mass Fiscal are still pushing people to run for office, take out papers. What can they do? What's that process like, real quickly?
Well, you have 200 days before the election, just about, and in about 30 days, you have to hand in your nomination paper. So if any of your audience is thinking about running for office, we encourage them to email us at recruiting@massfiscal.org, recruiting@massfiscal.org. We'll give you tips for how to run for office, get those papers in 30 days, and then hopefully win in about 200 days.
And it's 150 verified signatures, right? It's not a lot of work to gather those signatures.
It's basically one weekend. That's nothing. Anyone
right.
can do it. And we want ordinary people to run for office because our state house needs just ordinary people that understand what's happening around them.
All right, Paul. Thanks so much for coming on today. Appreciate it. That's Paul Craney from Mass Fiscal Alliance. Go to massfiscal.org for more information. You want to send those notes to your legislators. I'm going to do that during the break. 844-500-4242. We'll be back with your calls and much more. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr. This is The Howie Carr Show.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this.
That's the Democratic Party for you.
I've written to Washington about it.
What do you want to write to Washington for? He's dead.
Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by Soul Tea. Matt, I'll have you read the poll question out loud for me, and I'll get to our sponsor copy in just a second. What is the poll question? What are the results just thus far?
It's, will the Massachusetts legislature change their tune on suspending the gas tax?
Doubt it.
91% say no.
Solti is a soft gel capsule made with a super enriched extract from green tea, and it is decaffeinated. Solti has helped millions maintain lower cholesterol levels and a healthier heart. Pay attention to your good health. Go to solti.com. That's SOLTEA.com. Enter Howie at checkout to get $40 off with free shipping. Howie loves this stuff. Dennis, thanks for hanging on. You're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yes, sir. Hey, I just want to say, you guys are amazing. You have such a talented, intelligent crew. I grew up in Somerville, and I'm 71 years old now, and I live in, you know, down in North Carolina. But I remember, you know, the buses on Mass Avenue being electric and having the overhead wires and going down Mass Avenue and the bus drivers having to get out every so many seconds and put the wire, you know, put the cables back on the wires. It was considered obsolete at that time. The other thing I wanted to ask about is this New York subway shooter. Mm-hmm. How come nobody's bringing up the fact that, you know, how did he get a gun? How did he get a smoke bomb? How did he get ammunition? He's a convicted felon. And with Joe talking about, you know, ghost guns and all that crap, how come this isn't a, you know,
right? This wasn't. This,
I haven't heard.
It appears that this was not a ghost gun. That this was a gun that was legally purchased, and he was able to get it. It's, you know, mental health is not an easy thing to screen for, especially. But this guy had 9 priors, right? He was arrested 9 times in New York City. He had a couple of arrests in New Jersey as well, some other states, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, there's no way this guy should have been able to get his hands on a firearm in any legal capacity. But you know, you won't hear it. This story is going into the memory hole. You won't hear this too often. Fox News may stay on top of it. Newsmax will stay on top of it. But Frank James will not become really a household name. It's sad. It's very sad, and I'm glad nobody was killed. It was a great blessing in this tragedy that nobody lost their lives. But it's frightening, and it's another good reason, if you're in a state like Massachusetts or any state that allows it. Well, they all should allow it. New York City is pretty tough to get a gun, but do your homework and. If you're able to, it might be a good idea to look into getting a permit to carry. 844-500-4242. And one thing that Paul Craney mentioned with this stupid bill that's coming up, they're going to make it mandatory for Uber drivers, any rideshare drivers, to be operating electric vehicles. I mean, talking about paring down what's already a fraction of the vehicles that are on the road. More and more millennials and even younger, Gen Z, I think it is, are refusing to get their driver's licenses because they don't, it's just another cost, right? It's something that many of them can't afford, probably because many of them aren't working. So the Uber drivers present an alternative solution. You know, it's probably cheaper to pay for a couple of rides a week or a month than it is to shell out for a $300, $400 car payment every month. So they're already kind of doing their due diligence. Uber has gotten a number of cars off the road simply through the service that they provide, and now they're going to target them even further? This is stupid. Yeah, and those people aren't going to be able to afford the prices now because these EVs are very expensive. We'll talk about this more on the other side. I'm Taylor Cormier. This is The Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Happy early Easter. It's about to get pretty expensive if you're getting any baked goods or you're making any Easter omelets or doing an Easter egg hunt with real eggs. I'll have that story coming up for you in a bit. 844-500-4242. But I do want to get to your calls on this topic of these bills coming up in the well, tomorrow in the Massachusetts Senate that we were just discussing with Paul Craney from Mass Fiscal Alliance. Nate, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Taylor. First time, long time. Thanks for having me. So I got to wonder, if they're going to force everyone to go electric, then, you know, they're not going to be bringing in gas revenue because nobody's going to be spending gas. Yet at the same time, the same people are refusing for your poll. I agree. They're never going to drop the gas tax, even though the blue state of Connecticut already has. I don't get what they're thinking. And I guess I'd say to quote a famous person, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. I know it's Rahm Emanuel, but what are we doing on the right?
Well, yeah, and that's kind of what Joe Biden kind of paraphrases that. He says, you know, this is an opportunity. We see this crisis as an opportunity. And yeah, you've got a good question there, Nate, which is, where's this funding going to come from? Where is this pork going to go? Well, whose pocket is it going to come out of? And I propose to you what Pete Buttigieg floated when he was first introduced as the transportation secretary, and actually what Massachusetts legislators pondered for a little while as well, and that's taxing your vehicle by the mileage. You know, depending on how many miles you drive in a given year, you'd have to report on that, or you'd have to, but I'm sure a lot of these newer vehicles do keep track of that, and there's a way of downloading that data just from an app that's connected to your car. Or, you know, maybe cars will be retrofitted with, or even when you get your oil change, the oil change place will be pretty much mandated to report the mileage to the state. That's where I see this going, because you can't, there's already a tax on your energy at home, right? There's delivery fees, there's taxes on getting your electricity to your home. So you're being taxed at home on the energy that you're pumping into your car, so to speak, if you have an electric vehicle. But, you know, raising revenue for highways and construction projects and transportation projects, things of the like, that goes away when you do away with gas vehicles. I would think that would be their option, Nate, which is not a preferable way to go. It punishes us who, you know, travel a few more miles to work. And on top of that, it's punishing people who don't want to convert from gas to electric if they're going to force us by the year 2035 to start buying newer vehicles. And you know, where does that leave people who drive antique cars? Or, you know, they have an old car that they have upkept in their garage and they want to drive that around on the weekends. Is there going to be a premium on that when they want to fill that up and take it out for a cruise on a Sunday? I don't know. Thanks very much for the call. Good question. 844-500-4242. Paul, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, hi. I was watching a show. It's WION News. It's a news from India. It's on YouTube. And they did a story about the cobalt. And 30% of it is dug up by children, like six-year-old children. And there's thousands of them a year that die from collapses. And it's a shortage of cobalt, first of all. And it's all, everything that's out there is accounted for as far as bought. How can they continue to do this and with people knowing that these children are dying, the six-year-old kids? And 30% of that illegal trade comes from children mining.
Well, it's like anything else, Paul. Whether it be the jewelry you're buying at, you know, I'm not going to name any jewelry stores because I don't want any lawsuits brought on me. It's either from your jewelry store or the phone you just bought from whatever provider you have. A lot of that stuff is made with child labor, down to the shirts you're wearing, the shoes you're wearing. Even some of the parts of the car that you're driving, they're made with child labor, forced labor, in many circumstances, and you just turn a blind eye to it and get on with your day. Unfortunately, that's how things are in other countries, and a lot of that has to do with what happened in the 90s with the Clinton administration sending a lot of our corporations overseas. They were able to skirt a lot of those laws. It was terrible, and Trump was turning that around, bringing a lot of the corporations back. But I'm sure many of those corporations have gone back overseas or are thinking about it under the Biden administration. Thanks very much for the call. Dan, thanks for hanging on. You're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, once again, they don't even think these things through. Just to create all this electricity causes environmental. It's not a clean way to make electricity. Number one, two. I mean, I don't know about you, but my electric bill's over $400 a month now, as it is. We've got an old.
What the hell are you running over there? Are you Bitcoin mining?
I'm growing marijuana. No, I don't know why. I got to call them because it's really insane. I got a split level.
Wow.
I know in the summer we have a pool, so I understand that. But in the winter, it shouldn't be that long. But we've got a very old, decrepit electrical system. So if that ever goes down, it will be crippling everyone, and it probably will. And then in California, they already have roving blackouts as it is. They constantly have trouble with electricity there. Just imagine how many millions of cars over there they're going to have all day long. And then look at all the waste. Somebody just bought a car, and they can't afford to buy another one now. There's going to be no resale value on these because no one's going to want them. And if they get rid of gas stations, then they're essentially going to be useless. Just like the cars for clunkers, they actually caused auto prices to go up. But the government never thinks these things through.
No, they never do. They never do. You're right. I've seen videos of people that they basically, what they do is they collect a lot of these electric vehicles that are past their prime, especially kind of the earlier generation Priuses. Because they're pretty much defunct, but they can be easily repurposed and outfitted with more modern stuff. I mean, they're kind of upgradable in a way, but they're still going to cost a pretty penny. And it's not like it's not just like any old car, like any old gas powered vehicle, where you can just you replace a fuel pump and you're good to go. It's not like that at all. The battery is very expensive. The battery pack, I should say, because it's not just one battery that's housed in these vehicles. And I'm getting texts here that a lot of the batteries for the buses that we were talking about, they've got to be replaced every 8 to 10 years, and it's a cost of almost $250,000 in order to replace them. And I'm sure that price is going to go up as the demand for these minerals go up, like cobalt and lithium ion. It's nuts. They're not thinking this through. The prices of electric vehicles are not going to come down anytime soon because it just takes a lot more to create them, and it takes a lot more to mine the resources than it would to just get some gas at your local gas station. I realize that the gas doesn't just come from the gas station. There's a whole supply chain behind it, going to the oil fields, wherever you're sourcing the crude. 207, when you get an inspection sticker, they take the mileage. They could then report that number to the state each year. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you get your oil changed every couple of months or whenever you need it changed, mine is usually about every month and a half. You have to, they take down the mileage, and it would be very easy. I mean, they're already videotaping your inspections so that you're not cheating on it, and the inspection station isn't, cutting corners or anything like that. So I'm sure that would be a shoo-in. If they want to tax you by the mile, just have them report it along with your inspection or your oil change. Yeah, 781, they'll calculate your yearly mileage from your Mass State inspection sticker. During the inspection process, the mileage is not just entered into their database. A photo of your odometer is also uploaded. Can I get me a black market digital odometer changer here? I wonder how easy these things are to hack. And that was one of my major concerns when I think there was a movie, like one of the last Die Hard movies with Bruce Willis came out. It wasn't the most recent one. I think it was Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard. That was it. And I think the bad guys in that one ended up hacking one of these electric vehicles. Something stupid like that. It was interesting. Made you think.
I was thinking when I was a kid, we used to put a little piece of electrical tape over our VCR clock because we couldn't set it. You could do the same thing with the dashboard.
What do you mean?
A decal.
Oh.
Whatever decal you want.
I think that, I don't think that would work in the 21st century, but it's worth a shot there, Matt. Go ahead and try it. See what you can get away with. 844-500-4242. And it wasn't all that long. It was a few years ago that there was a test pretty much run by this rogue hacking agency, not for any particular reason, but they just wanted to see if they could do it. And they were able to hack cars across the country remotely, just via pretty much satellites or drones. They were able to hack vehicles because they would transpond and receive data and use that to gain access to the driverless systems. You could basically turn all of these cars into remote controls. All right, now we're getting into some weird territory with that kind of stuff. 844-500-4242. 413. When are these green morons going to realize that their electric utopia can't exist without fossil fuel? Pathetic. That's from Limerick Guy. I know, but they want to get us away from that. And this bill tomorrow that's in the state Senate is part of that, going for the offshore wind energy, which is, ask yourselves, you've got to find out from your local legislators or whoever's in charge of these projects, what kind of permits they're using, what kind of windmills they're using, because a lot of these were sourced from China. The plans were sourced from China. They've had so many problems with these things already breaking down, and then they just sit there, and the maintenance on them is an exorbitant price tag. And still, the cost to transmit the energy from sea to land is going to drive up your, I forget what the numbers were, but I remember it was not that long ago where the studies were done on the offshore wind projects in Massachusetts that were pending. Your bill was going to go up significantly, and it was not going to go down anytime soon. Brian, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Taylor. Two questions here, or a question, a statement. One, what's your old, since you're you kind of self-identify as old man Taylor, what's your old car of choice? And number two, good way to cheat the inspection in Maine, so you got to check engine light. You just throw a picture of the family and the kids in front of there. They don't move.
That's not a bad idea. Old car of choice, if I could have any one, 1959 Cadillac Eldorado Biarritz. That's my dream car.
Yes, you was a Bel Air fan, but okay, good choice. Good choice.
Thank you very much. Yeah, the 57 Bel Air, it's kind of too much of an iconic look. Not that the 59 Cadillac's any less iconic, but the 57 Bel Air is what you see all the time. I go for the big flashy fins. I like the Elvis style of it all.
I love the fins. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, my dad's got a 61 Caddy, and I just gawk at that thing every time I see it. It's a beautiful car. Thank you very much for the call and the question. Appreciate it, Brian. One more call before the break. That's you, Zebra. Go ahead. You're next on the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, Taylor, just a little logic check. You're a logical man. Do you think that the representative was exposed by his comment regarding the gas tax and the bond rating is because what they really want is all the tax dollars and the control, and then they just backfill an excuse to get what they want, whether it's electric vehicles, green energy. They just say what they want, and they push this down the line, and they haven't thought anything through. They're just like crying little babies that want power.
I don't know if it's even a power trip. I think it's just pressure. More than anything, I think it's a new source of revenue. It's an exciting new source of revenue. This is another way we can gouge the Massachusetts taxpayer. Force them to buy new electric vehicles starting in the year 2035. Forcing them to buy offshore wind energy or solar energy, pretty non-reliant forms of renewable energy where the technology far outpaces the price tag that they can produce. It doesn't make sense. It's ultimately, it's you and I footing the bill for all of this stuff. They don't have to worry about it. They sleep well at night. They've got their stipends for traveling, not traveling to the state house, mind you. So they don't care about it. That's why it's very important to run. Go to massfiscal.org if you want to take out papers. Ask them for some assistance. By the way, I tweeted out from Howie's account and from mine, Old Man Cormier, on Twitter, at Old Man Cormier, the link if you wanted to sign that little letter to your state senator saying don't vote on this bill tomorrow, this outrageous climate bill. You can get it from either Howie's Twitter account or mine at Old Man Cormier. 844-500-4242. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Taylor Cormier. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Be a part of the show. Call 844-500-4242. And mind your manners.
People lose teeth talking like that. If you want to hang around, you'll be polite.
The Howie Carr Show will return in a moment.
Either I'm dead right or I'm crazy.
You wouldn't care to put that to a vote, would you, Senator?
The Howie Carr Show.
That's some depressing news. Egg prices are skyrocketing. Higher than they were last year and in recent history, according to data released yesterday by the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics. Average price of eggs earlier this week was $2.42. That's actually down from $2.55 on April 4th, but up from 58 cents on April 12th, 2021. A couple of reasons for that. One, we're approaching the Easter holiday. Traditionally, egg prices go up a bit as demand increases, but also an outbreak of H5N1 avian influenza A found in 26 states. Let's play this report. This is from News Nation, Cut 25.
Well, Adrian, this is just such a headache. And coming up, we've got Easter, Passover, but egg prices, like you said, they're at an all-time high. Chicago Sweet Connection Bakery here, they're feeling it. Bakeries all across the nation are feeling it. Well, if they are, it means we will too.
We don't like raising prices. You know, obviously, you know, they don't like it either, but we're in an environment right now where we really don't have much of a choice.
In a given month, Chicago's Sweet Connection Bakery uses $50,000 to $60,000 in eggs. Their specialties? Pies, cakes, cookies, and pastries, all made with eggs.
It's probably going to drive up the price at least another 30-35%.
You know, pastries, cakes, pies, they're not too cheap to begin with. That's sad. USDA says consumer demand for shell eggs declined as shoppers are finding little incentive at the local grocer to buy beyond normal needs. So people aren't, I've never bought real eggs for Easter other than to, you know, make omelets or I don't do any baking, but you know, I don't dye the real eggs, but people are turning to plastic eggs more than ever before. So that's thanks, Brandon. Thanks, Joe. I mean, it's just another victim of Putin's price hike, I guess. Howie's back tomorrow, the regular time. Thanks for hanging out with me today. See you tomorrow.